Those are a lot of words. Candy had to say a lot of words, and you guys had to squeeze all those words in. I was like, whoa. I'm glad to be over here. Of course, my son's not here right now, but he tell you, well, Dad, you have an awful lot of words too, you know. Every Sunday we have to listen to them. So, first of all, I need to let you all know there's been a lot of fake news out there. I'm sure you're aware. Yeah, there's a lot of fake news out there. A couple weeks ago, it was reported that the last Munchkin from the movie The Wizard of Oz had died. Hello. Here I am. Oh, yeah. I am short. I am small. In fact, if you have ever watched The Lord of the Rings, it turns out I am smaller than a hobbit. Diana looked it up. By an inch, just an inch. Hobbits are an inch taller than me. So as you can imagine, even though it was a long story, I love this story. I love the David and Goliath story. I love hearing stories about small people taking on big challenges. And what I've discovered is that everybody loves this story because we all identify with David. All of us. All of us at times have had to face giants. Some of us face them, you know, have had to face them. Some of us face them every day. We have to face our giants, and that can be challenging, and it can be difficult, and it can be fearful. And I just want to help us maybe identify ways we hear the scripture and how we apply it today. David's giant's name was Goliath, right? David's giant's name was Goliath. But right now, I want you to just take a moment, and in your head, I just want you to think and to name the giant that you are facing today. Okay? I know some of us live in a target-rich environment, and there are many giants before us, but right now, I just want you to think about the one this morning that is most troubling you right now. Maybe it's work. Maybe it's health. Maybe it's relationships. Maybe it's addiction. Maybe it's pain, or sorrow, or loss. Maybe it's greed, anger, or fear. What's the name of the giant who taunts you during the day, mocks you in your sleep, is always continually before you? The name of our giant. It's difficult. It's difficult facing a giant. And in our story today, we hear that it's also difficult because David's own brother doesn't believe he should be there. Did you hear that? If you know the backstory, when David shows up, his oldest brother, Eliab, says, "What are you doing here? You're just a boy. This is men's work. Get away. Get away." There's always critics who tear us down. Always critics who tell us, we can't do it. We can't face that giant. We can't do it. I remember a story. A nun had a vision and felt a calling from God to build an orphanage. She was greatly troubled by all the children that had lost parents, were living on streets and things like this. And so she went to her mother superior to say, "I feel God is calling me to build an orphanage." And the mother said, "Sister, that's a great call. That's a great vision. But it takes a lot of money to build and run an orphanage. How are you going to do that? How much money have you raised? How much money do you have?" And the sister said, "I've got 3 pennies. And the superior laughs at her, just smiled at her and said, "Sister, You can't build an orphanage with just 3 pennies. And the sister looked at the mother and said, I know I can't build an orphanage with just 3 pennies, but with 3 pennies and the power of God, I can do anything. Do you know who I'm talking about? You've probably heard of her, Mother Teresa. All right, to face our giants means we don't listen to our critics. We can no longer listen to our critics. To face our giants. To face our giants means that we face everyday challenges. We use our everyday challenges. In the scripture reading, when David is talking with Saul, remember, David is keeping sheep. He's keeping his father's sheep. But while he's taking care of sheep, God is building in David a bold heart. A bold heart. And David reminds Saul. He says, hey, look, when I was taking care of my father's sheep, and the bear would come or the lion would come and would take the lamb, I would go after it. And the same God who delivered me from the claws of the lion and the claws of the bear are going to deliver me from this giant. Did you hear how David said that? David didn't say, while I was taking care of my dad's sheep, I learned how to use a slingshot, and I learned how to whack lions and bears, and I learned how to defeat them. No. David said, I learned that my God can deliver me from my everyday challenges. And if God can deliver me from my everyday challenges, God can take care of me when I'm facing a giant. We use our everyday challenges to remind us that God is with us, that God, will deliver us. Our everyday challenges help prepare us for that time when we do face our giant. And when we do so as ourselves. We do so as ourselves. You're familiar with the story, you know. Saul wants to help David. Saul's not trying to be mean, he's trying to be helpful. Here, put this on. That's not going to work. Saul's like a 52 tall. David's a 36 small. It's not going to work. It doesn't help. It doesn't work. To face our giants, we have to be ourselves. If you ever saw the Disney movie Aladdin, you remember, all right? Street kid trying to pretend he's a prince in order to woo the princess. And the genie says, the best thing you could do is just be yourself. Remember how that works? Just be yourself. Be the person God created you to be. He knows well your size. He knows well your strengths. He knows well your abilities. We love this story because it isn't about strength of arms, it's strength of faith. We need to be reminded of that because some of us are facing some pretty big challenges. Some of us are facing some pretty big giants. There's giants of sickness. There's giants of addictions. There's giants of unhealthy relationships. There's giants of shame. There's giants that are before us all the time. And our country is facing a giant. Our country is facing giants. Yes, I'm going there. Yeah, immigration. Have you heard the narrative? Have you heard the narrative being said? Summer camp. That's a good one. Tender care camps. Here's one. They're not our children. It's not like they're kids from Wyoming or Idaho. State worker in Oregon posted on Facebook, just shoot them. I'm good. Oh, yeah. But. Let's go to the other side. I was ashamed of a church. Ashamed. Did you hear this past week? The church in Alabama, Jeff Sessions Church, put out a letter signed by all the bishops and clergy and all the people and all the leaders and all of that, calling Jeff Sessions out. Really, church? Really? You've got nothing better to do than try. How's Jeff supposed to respond to something like that? You're not trying to correct any behavior. You're not trying to discipline anything. You're not trying to teach. You're embarrassing him. How is that possibly the word of God? How dare you to use God in that way, to publicly embarrass him that way? If you're that concerned about it, and you're his pastor, you arrange a phone call or a visit, and you say, you know, Jeff, I'm sure that the legal, but have we thought through all this? Where is that? Where is that? Or just recently, I don't know if it was last night or the night before, the Red Hen restaurant, did you hear about that? Asking Sarah Sanders to leave? Seriously? Seriously? What the heck? What is it? What the idea is, until they act like us, we're going to act like them? How's that ever going to get us anywhere? We are called to change the narrative. We are the people who are the ones who are able to say, all people can get along. All people can live in one church. All people together. Left wing, right wing. Well, if you only have one wing, that bird ain't flying. You need both wings. The idea is to be embracing. The idea is to be inclusive. It's not just to be inclusive of people who share our political views or our political beliefs. Or no. That's not inclusive. That's just looking for people to join your club. Being inclusive means not just tolerating, but embracing and valuing people who are able to bring a vision that you cannot see. They are able to see something that you cannot, and to appreciate the perspective that they're able to bring. Doesn't mean that we always will agree, but we understand one another. Our country and the church, the history of the church, we have faced challenge after challenge after challenge. And every time we have defeated those challenges, it's when we've been able to come together. Some of you are old enough to know, or you've studied history enough to know, civil rights. Remember the civil rights movement in the 60s and all that? But do you remember how pathetically it began? Those injustices had been going on and on and on. And the church was saying, oh, you know, we don't want to rush to judgment. Okay, it's not good, but we just take it slow. Everybody keep your heads. We don't need to get all radical. Let's just be all shh. But then you'd come home at night, and on your TV, you'd see dogs unleashed. You're going, oh, that's... See fire hoses unleashed. Ooh. You hear breaking news, four little girls killed just because they wanted to go to Sunday school, the church gets bombed, and all of a sudden it was decided, you know what? There comes a time when you've got to move and sit in the front of the bus. There comes a time when you have to walk across a bridge. There comes a time when you have to share the dream, God's dream. And God's dream is that all of creation is to be working together. God's dream is that all of us are his children. God's dream is that we're all one family. That's why Jesus came, so that we would know that families are no longer separated. Because guess what? We've been separated. That's why Jesus came. We came. He came because there was a separation between the kingdom of God and the people of God. And it was separated by sin. And Jesus came to say, we're knocking that wall down. We are not going to let the people of God be separated from the kingdom of God anymore. I will be the bridge. I will be the bridge. And his life and his death and his resurrection said, no more. No more are people separated from their heavenly Father. No more are people separated from God, their Creator. No more are people separated from the love of God. And I will stand before anybody who tries to separate them again. We are those people. We have an opportunity and a responsibility to change the narrative. To not just say this group is right and that group is right, but to recognize that both groups are part of the larger group of God's family. That this is what God's intended. This is God's dream. So many times, you know, we look at these big giants before us, whether it's your personal giant or the giant before our country. We look at it and say, oh, that's too big. That's too much of a complex problem. I'm just a little, we can't, you know how it goes. You know how it goes. Problem is too big. Other people are too powerful. I can't change anything. We're just a time. Look at it. That work situation. Whatever. No. Years ago, there was a TV series. I don't know if The Simpsons are still on or not. The TV series, The Simpsons. And anyway, so in that show, Homer Simpson, okay, he calls into a PBS telethon promising all this money because he's tired of the telethon. All right, he wants to get onto the programming. If they get their money, they'll get onto the TV show, okay? So he does that, but the PBS people find out that he doesn't have the money. So then what he does, what the PBS people say, okay, you got to work with a group of missionaries, all right? So he goes with this group of missionaries, and they're building a church, and they build a church. And Homer is just so proud of it. Now, Homer's not a theologically sensitive type of guy, all right? But he's looking at the church. He goes, you know, I don't know too much about God, but we've built him a nice little cage. You see, sometimes the church shrinks God, thinking that it's in a building, thinking that we can control God or manage God if we could just keep it all together. And every time we pray without passion, every time we work without joy, every time that we go through suffering without hope, we begin to shrink God, and we begin to shrink what it is that God's got. And we allow fear to dominate us, and we lose our vision, and we have a failure to persevere. You see, the fake news is that we think in our heads that we're too small. The fake news is that we think our giant is too big. The fake news is that we think the problem is too complex. But the good news of the gospel is that our God is greater than all of that. Our God is a holy, living God. And our God is greater than any giant that we face. Our God is stronger than anything that's before us. Our God is mightier than any enemy before us. Because our God is the holy, living God. Called by God, we are empowered by God. We are the people of God to share the vision of God so that all people know they've been created by God, loved by God, and God's grace is given to them. God's grace is poured out for them through Jesus Christ. So we will face our giants. We will pick up our slings because we are people who know that one stone and the power of God can take down any giant. Victory is in Jesus Christ. Amen.